Welcome to season 3 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big topics into small bites. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Neuzel, and I'm joined by my dear friend, women's health and fertility expert, naturopathic physician Kate Namas, to break down infertility, hormones, and the whole baby-making shebang.
This week, let's talk about the complex syndrome called PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, that includes metabolic factors and also a really complex female hormone picture.
Yes, let's. In an earlier episode, we discussed that the most common identifiable female factors, which accounted for 81% of female infertility, were organized into ovarian and uterine causes. And among ovarian causes, there are ovulatory disorders accounting for about 25% of female infertility. PCOS is one such ovulatory disorder.
So it's a really big deal for infertility. Now, I know we both work frequently with PCOS. What do you normally see with these women when they come into your office?
Infertility, of course. Difficulty losing weight in spite of a healthy diet and regular exercise habits. Not having regular menstrual cycles or missing cycles entirely. Another reason they come in to see me is they know they have PCOS and they've been using the pill to manage symptoms, but now they want to get pregnant and they don't yet qualify for letrozole, the medication that's often used to help women get pregnant, to ovulate and get pregnant, or they aren't ready to pursue ovulation induction yet like letrozole. Or they've tried ovulation induction with letrozole or Clomid 3 times and they didn't conceive. So that's another reason that brings those PCOS clients into my practice.
Absolutely. I've also seen some clients that were undiagnosed with PCOS, but knew they had either metabolic syndrome or diabetes.
Yep.
Who later I sent back to their primary care physician for diagnosis for PCOS.
Yep. I find that the primary care doctors will often miss it if the woman is not overweight or obese. But there's absolutely PCOS in women that are within their normal weight range.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you want to tell us about what we know about some causes of PCOS or what causes PCOS?
So PCOS is very complex. It's a multi-endocrine disorder, meaning it doesn't just affect the ovaries. There's changes to blood sugar regulation as well. It does have a genetic component, although much like endometriosis, it's a combination of many genes rather than one.
Right. And normally PCPs or OB-GYNs can diagnose PCOS, and it's usually done with a combo of labs, imaging via a pelvic ultrasound, and then clinically based on symptoms.
Right. So for diagnosis, it's not a clear diagnostic criteria. They can't just run a test and say, oh, you have PCOS. You do have to have 2 out of 3 main features of PCOS. One is irregular periods, which means your ovaries are not regularly releasing eggs or ovulating. And so it usually looks like very long cycles or very irregular cycles. And very long meaning over 35 days, or very irregular meaning 1 month is 40 days, then it might be 58 days, then down to 24 days. So that was the first criterion. The second is excess androgen, which is high levels of male hormones in your body, which may cause physical signs such as excess facial or body hair or severe acne. And then the third is actually the polycystic ovaries, for which the condition is named. So in this situation, ovaries become enlarged and contain all of these little fluid-filled sacs or follicles that surround the eggs. But despite the name, you don't actually have to have cysts if you have PCOS. These can be painful. So polycystic ovaries, the ovaries can actually be painful or they can be painless. And the cysts are usually found on ultrasound. So if you have 2 of these 3 main features, you could be diagnosed with PCOS. It's associated with metabolic syndrome, which means high blood sugars, insulin resistance, and abnormalities in blood lipids. And so that can lead to a tendency towards easy weight gain and difficult weight loss. But as you said previously, Kate, 50% of women with PCOS are able to maintain a healthy weight. And so while doctors often look for that as a hallmark symptom, it isn't necessarily.
Absolutely.
What are you doing to support your fertility clients with PCOS?
So for my PCOS clients hoping to achieve pregnancy, I'm immediately suggesting diet and exercise for weight reduction as the first step for overweight and obese people with PCOS. But you really have to be there to support them. You can't just say, hey, go off and do this. Most of them have been trying. So it's an intimate relationship of support. Available evidence suggests that lifestyle interventions like diet, exercise, and behavioral interventions are effective for improving insulin resistance and hyperandrogenism, that high T. In addition, there appear to be reproductive benefits as well. So that's why I'm starting with that, because we can get a lot of bang for our buck.
Yep. Yeah, I completely agree. I think that's the cornerstone here. Mm-hmm. So in terms of diet specifics, I tend to steer people towards a higher protein, high vegetable, very low carb diet. Mm-hmm. And I find that works best for these women because of the tendency towards higher blood sugars. This means cutting out the bready, grainy, starchy foods. What else do you do, Kate?
Yeah, I do all of that for overweight type PCOS. And then in addition to the weight loss via dietary exercise and behavioral interventions, I have some favorite supplements. I frequently use NAC, inositol, melatonin, CoQ10, chromium, magnesium, and maitake. They're all used for different things and I use them in different situations, but I find that usually I need to add supplements to help them with that weight loss and getting more regular ovulation.
I completely agree. So inositol has been proven highly effective in combating the metabolic portions of PCOS, especially when it's used in combination with diet and lifestyle changes. So it isn't enough by itself, but when you're doing the diet and doing the lifestyle, it can really, really push your success forward with those things. There are two kinds of inositol that are commonly used. Myo-inositol is sort of the more standard form that you'll see commonly available. And often it's just called inositol, or D-chiral inositol, which is sort of a designer version of it. Myo-inositol is more cost-effective and easier to find. So I usually start with this one first. And if we don't see a good response within a 3 to 4 month period, then I switch over to the D-chiral. I also use seed cycling with my PCOS clients on a modified schedule to slowly kind of bring their cycle length back down to normal. And so clinically, I think normalizing blood sugar and insulin and having regular periods are probably the most important things in my practice. But your practice obviously is focusing more on fertility. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Right. So in fertility, we often have a shortened timeline. But ideally, I also want to normalize testosterone before trying to conceive and balance blood sugars. Obviously, if we're using ovulation induction, the ability to ovulate is not as important. But my goal is also to start having regular ovulation prior to letrozole and Clomid, if at all possible. So that's what I'm doing. And one of the reasons I use magnesium, which I mentioned earlier, is that magnesium may help improve that insulin sensitivity and the glucose levels. NAC can improve the insulin sensitivity and lower the T. And my goal is to get them ovulating, lower that T before conception. And ideally, we have normalized those things and they can conceive without Clomid. But then if not, we can move to Clomid and letrozole.
Right. And Clomid is a great option for people who really do need that extra support. Mm-hmm.
So, excellent. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening today and sharing your time with us. If you like this show, please follow and maybe even leave a review, or like and subscribe if you happen to be watching on YouTube. Visit NamesND, NamesND.com, or to healthwiththat.com for more information about Drs. Kate and me, Dr. Amy.